I would like for you to take the word of God, please, and turn with me to the gospel according to John, the 15th chapter of the gospel according to John, and we'll begin reading with verse 1 of John chapter 15. I wish to remind you that Jesus is speaking to the 11. There were 12 disciples. One is now gone. Judas is gone to betray the Son of God. So this conversation is with believers, not unbelievers. And as the Lord speaks, he's teaching them. Not just teaching them some particular thing that is of maybe common denominator value. But these are the closing moments of his earthly ministry. And there's a certain intensity, not only, no doubt in my mind, in his voice, in their minds, as they're listening. And so we read it with that type of conversation in mind. There's no way we can adequately or accurately say exactly what the emotional emphasis of all of this was sounding like. But there's no doubt they were listening intently and he was speaking intently to them. In John chapter 15, the word of God says in verse 1, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, I want you to mark one word, if you would, please. And I'm praying God would fasten this word in our thinking. It's in the 6th verse. It is the word withered. Withered. We're dealing with the withering work of the Holy Spirit. I was sitting in a restaurant with a man nearly 100 years old, a preacher of renown. I'd traveled there to meet this man and talk with him. We were in the state of Ohio. I was very excited about seeing him. One of his friends accompanied him, who was also a friend of mine, and he worked out this time for conversation between me and this respected preacher of nearly a century old. And in the middle of the conversation, he made a reference to some particular person that we all knew. And he said, that man never reached his potential. And he turned to me and to the other minister who was sitting with him and said, are you reaching your God-given potential? Are you becoming the Christian God wants you to become? Somehow or another, most of us get the idea that we can stay somewhere near the middle. If we're moving at all, if we're just doing anything at all, God surely is satisfied with that. Some people even say, if they're not doing anything wrong, surely God is satisfied with that. Do you ever think, as I think about what God actually has us here for and how full he wants to fill our cups and the potential he's put within us if we yield to him, die to self, and let him live through us? The Lord is talking to his disciples here. And remember, when you're reading through this 15th chapter, you'll find 8 times he uses the word fruit. The fruit bearing is going to bring glory to God. 15 times he uses the word abide. As a matter of fact, I want you to look at verse 4 again. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me. And then look at verse 6 and let's compare that. If a man abide not in me, there are consequences for abiding in Christ and there are consequences for not abiding in Christ. It's not just important to get hold of this and let it get hold of you. It's essential. It's essential. Years ago, I don't know who said it for the first time, but someone said, only one life to live, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. How many of you have heard that? That came from one of our renowned Christian warriors from the past. And the Lord said, you can be a fruit-bearing Christian. You can come to the place where you don't just bear fruit, you bear much fruit. You bear more fruit, and then on to much fruit. As a matter of fact, in verse 5, I'm the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. You want to be a much fruit Christian? And then, for without me, you can do nothing. Just so we get things straight, I want you to hold your place here and turn with me to the gospel according to John, the 10th chapter. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus says, beginning at verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. He continues, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I can remember the first time I heard an argument about whether or not you can lose your salvation. I was sitting in a Sunday school class as a young adult, and someone thought they really had the argument for losing your salvation. And I sat there and listened till I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, let's put the emphasis on God and not on men. The Lord says, I give them eternal life. And the Lord said, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And this fellow said, well, what about getting out of his hand yourself, jumping out of his hand? I said, that's impossible. As a matter of fact, I remember the story going about like this in the Sunday school class. How many of you have been on board Noah's ark and would have said, I want off in the middle of the flood? All these hypothetical things that don't make a bit of sense sometimes are used for arguments. But let's read again, Romans chapter 8. Would you hold your Bible open there? Romans chapter 8. Now the Word of God says, beginning with verse 35 of Romans chapter 8, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 36, Romans chapter 8. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verses 38 and 39, Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The devil's work can be undone. I've seen it undone lots of times. The devil's got somebody by the throat about to destroy their life, and you think there's no hope for them. Then they come to Jesus for the cleansing power. God raises them up and changes their lives. The devil's work can be undone, but the work of Jesus Christ in salvation can never be undone. We're saved and saved forever. We're in him. And if someone says that's an argument for doing what you please and sinning after you say you've made a profession of faith, no, my friend, it's a great thing to know that you're never going to hell, and a gratitude at heart filled with love for what Christ has done for them and want to give his life or her life completely to the Lord. I just want to nail down something before we try to deal with this, that we're not talking about losing your salvation in John chapter 15. He's talking to Christians. As a matter of fact, if we begin again at verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. We've talked about that. He's caring for the vine. Every branch in me, he's caring for the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. And I told you earlier, that word has to do with washing. Washing. He purgeth it. He cleanses it. Things can attach themselves to the branch that in one sense disable it or hinder it from producing the fruit that it ought to produce. Just hold your place there and let me read from Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says in the context of the home, in verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Let's say washing of water by the word. The word is compared to water. Washing of water by the word. Let's go back to John chapter 15. In the very next verse, now are you clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It's the word of God that washes us and cleanses us. And I believe you can put on one side allowing God to do that washing as the husbandman or the carer of the vineyard is caring for us, and we're trying to live the clean life, trusting the Lord, confessing sin, asking God to enable us. And it could wind up whether it's either being washed clean by the word, getting that washing, or finding the withering. Some people are withering and they don't even know they're being withered. They're withering. You and I don't have to call names. Remember, I'm the pastor. I've been the overseer and the under shepherd and the pastor, the shepherd of this flock for a long time. And I've seen people who have withered in their Christian lives. They were once fruitful and blessed, bountiful, bearing much fruit, the most Christ-like. And I'm not trying to say to you that they've lost their salvation, because that's impossible. But they've lost something. They've lost something. And the greatest evidence of that loss is not even yet taking place. But they're certainly not the people they used to be. We see this collectively in churches. Churches wither. I'm not asking you to pass judgment, but just from observation, how many of you know a church that used to be, and now it seems as though it's a place that's withered? Would you raise your hand? Yes. Let me just read this passage to you. If you'd like to turn there to what Paul wrote to Corinth in the book of 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says in verse 9, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." And in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Notice the difference. Some of these things can perish, some cannot. That's the point. Fire will purify gold and silver. It won't destroy a precious stone. But wood, hay, and stubble can be destroyed. Every man's work, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. You say, it'll be made manifest. When? Not now. But in the flaming, piercing eyes of Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, everything we've done will be made manifest. And what will be shown? Now, it'll be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort. Would you mark that little word, sort, not size? You recognize how many Christians, how many pastors and people in the ministry are beating themselves up every day because their work is not big enough when they start comparing themselves with other people? They've given their best effort. They've given their heart to God. They're abiding in Christ. They're faithful servants of the Lord. They're true followers of Jesus. But they still just beat themselves up because they compare their work with someone else's work, and they think the measure is size. But that's not what God's word says. God's word says our work is measured by what sort it is. What sort of work it is. If any man's work abide, which he built, hath built upon, thereupon he shall be receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It's possible that everything you've ever done, or nearly everything you've ever done, will go up in flames at the judgment seat of Christ. And I don't know exactly how to say this, but I'm going to make an attempt at it. God tends to us as a gardener, and he wants us to recognize that he is the vine and we're the branches. Remember, everything comes through the vine into the branches. The branches hold beautiful clusters of grapes, but the branches cannot produce. It cannot produce by itself the clusters of grapes. All that's needed for the much fruit is coming through the vine. And Jesus says, I am the true vine. And sometimes in life, God deals with us about the fact that we've neglected him of all things. We've tried to get it done without him, without abiding in him. We've tried some world tool, something we think we can whip it together and get it done. Most of the time we've been influenced by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we're almost falling into that trap. It's like a dog chasing its tail, you can never catch it, of trying to compare ourselves with what someone else is doing. God never asked anyone to do that. He wants our best for him, not compared to what someone else is. Everyone has his own ability and his own opportunity. There are millions of preachers, no doubt through the centuries, who have never been given the opportunity that I've been given. And I'll answer to God for that opportunity. No doubt there are thousands of people who have more ability than I have. And I think about dragging myself around and trying to say, oh God, help me. Help me. But the Lord knows how to measure it out, doesn't he? He knows what we've been given. But when you make the decision that you can just be passive in it, when you make that decision, only God knows all of it, but you're apt to begin withering, just withering. See, there's no middle ground. If there's no fruit, there's withering. And that's a warning that we need. Let God do some washing in your life. Get every account settled. Get the right motive. Doing it all to be approved of God. And ask God to help you. You don't want to become a withered vine in the Lord's vineyard, when you can be a vine bearing much fruit and bringing glory to the Lord. Let's pray together, may we?